Today's scripture is from Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
You know, there's always a lot of good reasons to be in church. And I have known people throughout the years that were in church for a lot of different reasons, some of them better than others. The best reason to be in church is Jesus, to worship God. That's really the primary reason that we should be here, is to worship God. But there's a lot of other reasons people go to church sometimes. And over the years, I've known a few people that would show up to church anytime they were in trouble. They wouldn't come any other time. You'd very rarely see them because their life was okay. But if they had a big problem, they would show up to church. And they would be there for 3 or 4 weeks until they somehow either worked through that problem or got used to having that problem. Sometimes they even worked through that problem because people in the church helped them with that problem. And then you would never see them again until they had a big problem again. You know, and sometimes we treat God that way. Maybe it's not as obvious as that. But sometimes we kind of like this idea that if we are a good person, we do the right thing, we keep the rules, we go to church, we try to be a good Christian, then God should make our life easier. And God should give us blessings and things should work out and we should be healthy and wealthy and all the things of life should work out for us and everything should be sunshine and lollipops because we follow Jesus. Never works like that. It just doesn't. Life is not like that. Now, of course, God wants to give us blessings, and God does give us blessings. And there is joy in following Christ, but it's a fallen world. And even if we are a good person, and even if we go to church, and even if we do the right things in life, life is sometimes still going to be really quite difficult. We read about this as we opened our service today. The psalmist writes, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in the straight path because of my oppressors. That doesn't sound like sunshine and lollipops. This is the psalmist writing a prayer to God in the midst of being forsaken, even by his own father and mother. Family, friends can forsake us. People can hurt us. He refers to his oppressors. And yet God receives him. He knows that God receives him even when family reject him, even when there are oppressors in his life. It is a fallen world. Now, I don't want to paint a bad picture. There are blessings in life, and life can be a beautiful and wonderful thing. But we all know that life can be difficult as well. And sometimes we have to face the difficulties of life, even in the betrayal of family or friends, in the suffering against oppression. There are things that we have to face in life. And the Bible doesn't shy away from that. The Bible doesn't tell us everything's going to be okay because we believe in God. The Bible doesn't tell us that following God fixes all the problems of the world. In fact, it will create some. Following God, however, is a way to deal with all the problems of the world. God shows us how to deal with the problems. It's not that we're going to be immune from them. It's not that we're going to avoid them. We might avoid some of them if we're following God. We might follow a path that God leads us and avoid some of the dumb things that we do that mess up our life. But more than that, God is going to give us ways to deal with the struggles and the pain and the difficulty of life. And this is where the writer of Hebrews really shows a great deal of wisdom. The writer of Hebrews, in the passage we just read, says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That sounds good, doesn't it? That we could throw off the things that hinder us. We could avoid the sins that are messing up our life. We could get rid of those things. We could cast off all the things that weigh us down, and we persevere towards the race that God has given us in life, the person we're created to be. Everything God would have for us in life, we persevere and we endure and we run that race. That sounds good, doesn't it? That's easy to say. That's hard to do. We find that difficult. And the writer of Hebrews shows a great deal of wisdom because he doesn't just tell us to do that. He actually tells us how. He says, first of all, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, one of the things that we need to learn and be very aware of as people of faith is that we are not in this alone. We are not in this alone. We are part of something much, much bigger than ourselves. And everything is not on our shoulders. Everything is not for us to figure out. We don't have to know everything. We are part of something much bigger than ourselves. That we are surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses. And over the years, this has been interpreted as both the cloud of witnesses, meaning we are all in this together. As people of faith, we support one another, we encourage one another, we pray for one another. Sometimes we struggle with these things, but we should be praying for each other, we should be encouraging each other, lifting each other up, helping one another as people of faith, as the family of God. But also those who have gone before us, that all through the ages, people have persevered and they have overcome the struggles of this life, and we are in it together. We are part of something eternal, not just a group of people here on earth, but throughout the spiritual realm, that we are part of something bigger than ourselves. We don't have to understand that for that to work for us. That may be bigger than we can actually imagine. That there are the saints that have gone before us that are with us in this. That may be bigger than we can imagine, but we don't have to understand it for it to be true. We don't have to understand it for it to actually work for us. Sometimes we need to get past our own vision. Sometimes we need to get past our own self. Sometimes we become so self-absorbed in me and mine and our and the things that are happening to me this day and this minute, that how is my day going becomes the most important thing in my whole world, in everything. How is my afternoon going right now? Someone says something to me that I don't like and it made me mad, and now my whole day is shot because that's the most important thing to me. And I get caught up in that. Or I get disappointed because something didn't go my way, and I get caught up in that. And that becomes my world. In this moment, sometimes we got to get out of that. We got to get past that and understand we are part of something for the ages. That the truth is, what that person said or that disappointment that I got upset over probably won't matter maybe tomorrow. It probably won't matter at all next year. In 10 years, I probably won't remember it happened. So if we have a little bit of perspective, we can sometimes calm ourselves and get out of this tragedy of the moment, this obsession with the moment of how do I feel right now. If we can get out of that just a little bit, it can help us to understand that tomorrow, next week, next year, 10 years, some of these things that we worry about so much aren't going to matter that much. The writer of Hebrews takes it to the next step, a much larger step. He said it's not just about looking at the week or the year or even the lifetime, but the ages. We are surrounded by the saints of the ages, a cloud of witnesses that have persevered through this life. We are not in this alone. God knows how to lead us through this. People have persevered through this. And if we can have an eternal perspective, a perspective that does not get caught up in just the feelings of the moment or the problems of the day, but understand that it's a long life and it is an eternal life, and God is with us through eternity, and that great cloud of witnesses have run the race in this life, and they struggle with all the things we struggle with, and they persevered. Sometimes it helps to just know we're not in this alone. And it's not about this moment. It's not about the decision I made that I regret right now. It's not about the things that I'm upset about in this moment. It's a long life. And we are part of something much, much bigger. We are part of an eternal perspective that is part of life within God Himself that gives us eternal life. Sometimes we need to just be quiet and just be in the presence of God and be surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses and not be so caught up in the problems of the day or the moment. Yes, we have to address them. Yes, we have to deal with them, but they don't determine our life. We are part of something much bigger than the problems of the day or the feelings of the moment. We are part of the great cloud of witnesses that is much bigger than the problems even of this lifetime. We are part of something much bigger than that. And not only are we part of something bigger than the problems of our day, we have a leader that's bigger than the problems of this world. He says, let us run with the perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. That's a very important phrase. The pioneer and perfecter of our faith. See, sometimes if we want to have this grand vision, this view of this eternal perspective that gets us out of the problems of the day and the being trapped in the feelings of the moment and understand that we are part of something eternal, that God is an eternal God and we have eternal life and that God leads us through all of these things, that God is bigger than our problems. Sometimes if we want to do that, If all that I just described, if that sounds good to you and you think, that's what I want. I don't want to get caught up in the problems of the moment. I don't want to be a slave to the things of the day. I want to have a bigger perspective. I want to be above all that. I want to have a spiritual life that knows I'm part of something bigger and more eternal than these problems right now. That I can deal with these because I have the power of God in my life and surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses. If that sounds like something you want to pursue, sometimes the mistake we make is thinking, all right, I have to have more faith. So I'm just going to faith real hard. I'm going to faith just as hard as I can. And I'm going to faith so hard that I'm going to have more faith. Doesn't work like that. Sounds funny when I say it out loud like that, doesn't it? But we do it. That's exactly what we do. When we try to have more faith, we just try to muster up more faith. We try to find more faith somewhere. Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Our faith comes from Jesus. Our faith is perfected in Jesus. This is not something that we muster up and perfect. This is not something that we figure out and work up so that we can have more faith, so that we can overcome all these problems through the faith that we have put together. Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Jesus gives us faith. Jesus teaches us faith. Jesus perfects that faith. And it takes time. This is not something that just magically happens. It takes time. It's a relationship with Jesus. But Jesus, being the pioneer, that means the one that has come into that faith, the one that gives us faith. He is the one that we are the reason we have faith is Jesus. And He's the perfecter of it. This is not something that we polish up so we can present to God and say, look what kind of faith I have. This is something that Jesus works on within us. This is something that Christ within us works on and develops and perfects so that it is the work of God in our life, not the work that we put together. A lot of Christians struggle in their area of faith because somehow we got the idea that faith is something that we have to develop. Faith is something that we have to bring to God and that we have to develop. And if we want to have more faith, we have to work hard to faith harder. That is not how it works. The Bible tells us that faith is about Jesus, that Jesus gives it to us. He is the pioneer of faith, and He develops it. He is the perfecter of faith. And so if Jesus gives us that faith, perfects that faith within us, and makes us part of something much bigger than us, something beyond even that we can imagine. This great cloud of witnesses is really beyond our human comprehension. Makes us part of something so much bigger than us that if we start to glimpse that, if we start to have a vision of that, that Jesus himself places faith within us through his grace, that Jesus himself perfects that faith, and through that faith makes us part of something bigger than us, then we can have a spiritual life that is above the problems. Doesn't mean we escape them. Doesn't mean we don't have the feelings of dread and grief. Doesn't mean we escape any of the stuff of life. It means that we can deal with it on a different level. Have you ever been at a place in your life that you just got completely overwhelmed? That you knew you did not have the resources within yourself to deal with the problems of life? Maybe you feel like that every day. That you just don't have enough. You don't have enough time. You don't have enough energy. You don't have enough intelligence. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough to deal with the problems of the world. I think if we went around the room, everybody would probably admit, yeah, I felt like that. No one escapes that feeling. Some people are more confident than others. Some people do have more resources than others. But at some time, everyone feels like, I can't deal with this. This is more than I can do. And the truth is, that's because the world is bigger than us. The problems of the world are bigger than we are. The writer of Hebrews was writing to a people that were Jewish people that had believed in Jesus. They were now following the Christian life, and they were living under Roman persecution. The writer of Hebrews was writing to a people that were terribly oppressed and persecuted by the Roman Empire at a time that they were persecuting Christians. These are people that had followed Jesus and were being persecuted for it. And because of that, some people within that Christian movement were beginning to have second thoughts. They were beginning to wonder, is this worth it? Look at the pain we're suffering. Look at the oppression. We are taking on the Roman Empire. Up to that point, the strongest empire in human history. The most advanced military the world had ever seen. And one of the most oppressive regimes the world had ever seen. And they were faced that as just a small group of people, sometimes trying to hide out to worship Jesus, to follow him. And there were people within that group that were beginning to wonder, is this really worth it? Maybe God has abandoned us. If we're following Jesus, why isn't Jesus taking care of this? Why isn't Jesus protecting us? Why are we dealing with such oppression? If we're following Jesus, why is God letting this happen? And the writer of Hebrews is writing not to say, everything will be okay. He didn't say that. He didn't write to say, oh, you're just looking at things wrong. No, he didn't say any of that. He said, yes, there is the oppression. Yes, there is the hardship. And it's going to take perseverance. And it's going to take setting your mind and running that race. But he doesn't say, just be tough. He doesn't say, well, work smarter, not harder. He doesn't say, all right, just quit. It's too hard. He says, you're part of something bigger than you. That you are part of something bigger than you are. And yeah, it may hurt. And yeah, we all may struggle. But we are part of a great cloud of witnesses. We are part of something bigger than ourselves. That the struggles of this day, as painful as they can be at times, are small compared to the great eternity that we are part of. And so he's telling them, have a bigger perspective. Yes, we have to deal with the problems. He's not saying those go away, but we look beyond that and see the bigger perspective of the eternity of the great cloud of witnesses that we are a part of. And he says to them, it's not a matter of you figuring out how to overcome the oppression of the Roman Empire. It's not a matter of you being stronger than the Roman Empire or more wealthy or more determined. It's a matter of setting your eyes on Jesus, who is the pioneer and the perfecter of your faith. When these people began to falter and they began to wonder, can I do this? Is it worth it? They began to struggle in their faith. The writer of Hebrews didn't tell them to faith harder, and he didn't fuss at them for their struggles. He said, fix your eyes on Jesus. Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of your faith. He knew they didn't have the strength or the faith or the determination to pick themselves up and take on the Roman Empire. He said, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the one that gives you faith. He's the one that perfects your faith and makes you part of something bigger than you are. I think those words written to that oppressed and suffering group of people speak to us as well. We all suffer in our own ways. People suffer worse than us. Maybe some people don't suffer as much. We can always find somebody that's worse off. We can find somebody that's better off than us. But in our own way, we all struggle at some time or another. And we need to hear the words that were written long ago to a hurting, suffering people that were grieving and wondering, is all of this stuff worth it? The writer of Hebrews says yes, but not because you have to be stronger or smarter or more determined. Fix your eyes on Jesus because you're part of something bigger than you. You're part of something more vast than you can even understand, more glorious than you can even see. And you don't have to be the one to be determined and to be strong and to find enough faith. Jesus does that. All our job is, as the writer of Hebrews encouraged them long ago, even to this day, fix your eyes on Jesus. It's so easy to look at the problems of the day. It's so easy to get caught up in all the busyness of life and all the stuff that we have to do. I think it was Corrie Ten Boom that said, if the devil can't make us rebellious, he'll make us busy. Let me say that again. If the devil can't make us rebellious, he'll make us busy. Because all the problems of life end up being right there in front of our face, right there before our eyes. And all we can see sometimes is the overwhelming onslaught of problems in this world. And yes, there are blessings, and yes, there are good times, but we all know there are struggles in this life, and sometimes that becomes our focus. And sometimes it's like a blindfold is in front of our eyes, that all we see is the darkness of those problems. The writer of Hebrews doesn't deny any of that. The Bible doesn't deny the problems of life. It tells us how to overcome them. It is through Jesus. It is through fixing our eyes on Jesus, which means we can't be busy every second of every day. We have to have some quiet time to just look at God. We have to have some quiet time to do what the Bible tells us, to fix our eyes on Jesus. To fix our eyes on Jesus. So if we are busy every minute of every day trying to overcome all the struggles of life, whatever those struggles may be, always doing and doing and doing and doing, trying to overcome, that won't work. We have to have some quiet time to spend fixing our eyes on Jesus and being in the presence of God and beginning to experience, even if we don't understand what it means to be some part of something eternal, part of that great cloud of witnesses. We will never quite comprehend all of that, but we can begin to experience it as we are quietly with God. The problems of life won't go away just because we're Christians, but we don't need them to. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. We need to spend time every day just being quiet with God. And you can decide, well, how much time that is. That's between you and God. There's no wrong way to do that. There's no set amount of time. There's no wrong way to pray. But whatever you need to do to carve out time every day to set your mind, set your eyes, set your heart on Jesus, He will be the pioneer and perfecter of your faith and make you part of something much bigger than you, beyond the problems of every day. And that's why we pray. And that's why we pray every time we come in here. It's not the only time that you pray, I hope. I hope you pray every day. You've got to do that. But we do that here. We pray together. We lift up our concerns together. And we We praise God together in this place because we want to fix our eyes on Jesus so that when we go into that troubled world, we can do it as a people of faith. Not that we've mustered up, but the true faith that comes from Jesus himself. Now let's pray together. God, you know that when we have struggles and difficulties and problems, that becomes our focus sometimes. Sometimes that's all we can see. And there are times that we are just overwhelmed because the world is bigger than we are. The world is more powerful than us in our human frailty. And sometimes we just feel desperate for help. Thank you that we see that help in your word. That we don't have to overcome the world. We don't have to somehow muster up enough faith or strength or determination or money or anything else to fix the problems in our life. We are told to fix our eyes on Christ, who gives us faith, who develops our faith, and makes us part of something bigger than the problems of this world. Brings us into a spiritual life that is eternal. God, we can't understand all of that. Eternity is beyond our scope. But help us just to experience a little bit of it with you. Help us to be determined, no matter how busy we are, no matter how much we may struggle, to always carve out some time to spend quietly with you and fix our eyes on you, direct our heart toward you, so that you can provide us with that faith and develop the faith within us that brings us above and beyond all the struggles of this life. Sometimes we wish that we could avoid problems and difficulties and suffering. You don't promise us that, but you do promise us ways to deal with it through faith in you. And that you are the pioneer and perfecter of that very faith. And so as a people of faith, as people who need your help, we turn to you, O Lord, as we lift our prayers.